Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. This is Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. The following is an encore presentation of a segment of the award-winning For the People that was recorded and aired previously. Well, as we mentioned, this is going to be the first of a two-part kind of mini-series look at a very critical organization that's been serving our listening area since 1914. I'm talking about what was the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association, now known as RVNA Health. They're a private nonprofit, mission-driven organization founded and focused on care. While their name and services have evolved since their founding way back in 1914, their principles have remained steadfast to serve exceptional patient care and provide a great commitment to excellence in quality and service. One of the many who serve the organization and folks like you is Melissa Woodhouse. She's the director of Stay Well Services for RVNA Health, and we're going to meet her in just a moment. But hey, one of the things that comes along with maintaining good health is hopefully maintaining good health coverage. And unfortunately, as we're seeing and hearing, coverage for many of us is going to get much more costly. So our partners over at the Connecticut Insurance Department are holding a hybrid informational meeting at 9 a.m. on August 20th on the health insurance rate request filings for the 2025 individual and small group on exchange and off exchange plans. So if your health plan falls into any of those categories, you're probably going to be facing a rate increase, but the Connecticut Insurance Department wants you to know more about it. Access Health CT is the state's health insurance exchange, and there are 8 filings made by 7 health insurers for plans that currently cover almost 200,000 people. So if you'd like to take part in this or offer testimony, you can join virtually via Zoom by emailing your full name to cid.ratefilings@ct.gov. Or you can just submit written testimony and tell your story or make your appeal regarding the rate increases. You just need to do that by 5 p.m. on the day of this info session, August 20th. And you can also do that by email by going to cid.ratefilings@ct.gov. So with that said, let's flip back to our friend Melissa to talk about RVNA. Hey, Melissa, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about your story. Tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to RVNA.
Sure. So I am actually duly licensed as a respiratory therapist and an occupational therapist. And I came to RVNA Health as an occupational therapist working in home care with people who had, you know, multiple diseases and needs that required an occupational therapist to come in and help them in their home.
So what is Stay Well Services that you are representing?
Yep. So I now am the director for the private pay division of the agency. So this is where someone might need a caregiver to come into their home anywhere from 4 hours to 24 hours a day to help them with their day-to-day tasks and maybe even go out for them if they need to run any errands, as well as private duty nursing and geriatric care management.
So how long have you been with RVNA?
For over 10 years.
Oh, that's great. So over the time you have been with the organization, what are a few of the services that you've seen that have really found a great popularity in the geographic area of the state that you guys cover?
No, that's a great question. And we cover over 35 towns now, and we're based out of Ridgefield and New Milford. So we have a wide range. Really, the services that we provide are for anything unrelated to the hospital, right? Like we take care of people in their homes. If they've had a recent injury or illness or diagnoses, and they just don't know how to navigate it, but they're at home and Maybe they just got out of the hospital with a new diagnosis of some sort. We have home health services. So this is completely covered by insurance, needs a doctor's order, and a nurse, physical therapist, occupational therapist, speech therapist, and even a home health aide can come out and help the person get back up on their feet. We have hospice services now, which has been hugely helpful to allow people to remain comfortably in their home at the end stage of their life. We also have outpatient physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy, where someone can come into our building in Ridgefield and get those services in our clinic. We have community health and wellness, which is a whole host of different services from prenatal care to vaccines. We do clinics to help kids who need physicals to get back to school. There's just many, many, many different things that
Well, you brought up a couple of really important points. The first of which is that while we're still here in the month of August, we're barreling toward October, where we try to promote saying boo to the flu by getting your flu shot. And I know RVNA, I think I have had RVNA nurses putting flu shots into my own arm over the past 20 years when I'm on my other job over in the Newtown area. So let's start by reminding people not just flu vaccines, but also there's going to be another round of COVID-19 vaccines that are due to hit the market and patients' arms in the coming weeks. These are really, really vital services. And I imagine you guys really distribute thousands and thousands of these vaccines every year.
Yes, we do. We hold clinics. And, you know, even if somebody has a question, like they've had something life-changing happen to them and they don't know how to navigate it, they can call into the agency, they can walk in, and one of us will go and talk to them and help every step of the way.
The other key point that you made briefly was, I think when a lot of people hear VNA, unless they've experienced it themselves, they think, oh, another service for our aging population. But you pointed out prenatal care, and you pointed out child wellness services and child clinics. You guys cover before birth to to hospice and aging, and even the select centenarians, the centenarians that you you have in your circle.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done a really good job over the years of creating just one place for people to come, and we can navigate them through all the different stages of their life, no matter what happens to them, which is really nice. You don't have to go to multiple different places. You just come to us.
And as I pointed out from the flu clinics, you guys have branched out into the critically important component of essentially a kind of a roving public health agency. Public health and safety is another area that you guys really focus on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we also have multiple seminars and different webinars that people can call into to get information about fall prevention, how to fall safely, osteoporosis. I mean, the list is extensive, and they could go onto our website and take a look and see all the different, you know, opportunities that they have. We also have a Parkinson's center now too, so we can help navigate if somebody has early Parkinson's or late stages of Parkinson's. There's different classes they can take too, all for free. So it's a good opportunity to take a look at our website to see what we have available.
Yeah. Well, let's return to the areas that you're most familiar with. Tell us about you and your team handling the various specific therapies that you're trained in.
Sure. So really, our department handles anything insurance won't cover. So let's say, you know, somebody was just diagnosed with a stroke and now they're going to go home and they're alone and they're scared and they need help with everything. They can call us up and they can get a caregiver to help them, you know, with the day-to-day activities that maybe are now difficult to them, like taking a shower or making a meal for themselves. So unfortunately, you know, insurance doesn't cover a ton. And if they need somebody to stay with them in their house for anywhere from 4 hours to 24 hours, they can give us a call and we can supply them with a caregiver, a nurse, or even a geriatric care manager who could help navigate through any nuances like a disease or getting older can, you know, inflict upon a family and that person themselves.
So you have obviously, as you mentioned, a private payer, but you're also involved like people who may be on Medicare or Medicaid or yep. Have their own insurance. You folks are also serving those qualified patients as well.
Absolutely. So that would be through our home health department, if depending on what the need is, or hospice, of course. And all those services are covered completely by insurance.
Great. In terms of the ways that your staff gets out there in the public eye, to not only to remind them about RVNA Health, but also to help benefit their health and well-being, what are a couple of the activities that maybe you've been involved in, or you know that other elements of your team are involved in, that you think really go above and beyond to make sure that all the folks in the many communities that you serve are in the best possible health?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, we have lots of different presentations that we give that can help prepare somebody for what's next in their life. I know I just gave a talk about, you know, how to do a home modification to your home so you can stay in your home long-term. People want to stay home. It's cheaper to stay home. So those presentations I think are hugely helpful. We also had a huge dementia series just recently too. We have two instructors specifically who know dementia and how to train caregivers on it. And that was a huge hit. I think that it was eye-opening for a lot of people and also helped them prepare for the future. But I think in general, our agency really knows how to help people navigate through all, like I mentioned, the stages of their life and whatever that brings in, you know, like if they have an illness or a fall. You know, some people, they come to us and they're very scared and they don't know what to do. And so we're able to coordinate all that for them, talk to their doctors, talk to their family members. And I think that that really does help. But we also have a whole part of the agency that helps with prevention as well.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to talking to another one of your colleagues in the second segment of this small series that we're doing, providing some education and exposure to an organization that's been serving Southwestern Connecticut for 110 years. Talking about what was the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association and now is known as RVNA Health. That is their website, rvnahealth.org, a private nonprofit organization providing exceptional home and community healthcare services, supporting public health and safety, and promoting the highest quality of life now across 35 towns in our region. So we want to thank you, Melissa Woodhouse. She is the director of their Stay Well Services, and we will be back with RVNA. Stay tuned for part two coming up in a week or so. Thank you, Melissa. The following is an encore presentation of a segment of the award-winning For the People that was recorded and aired previously. All right. Pleased to be leading off the program here on Labor Day weekend with a couple of folks who I've never met, but an agency that is being supported by a public event that I've been promoting now on this program for 32 of the 33 years it's been in existence. I'm so pleased to welcome Allison Zonka, who is the Director of Fund Development Communications at Bridges Healthcare, and Ray Vitale, who's on the Bridges Healthcare Board and a founder of what was then called Folks on Spokes. He's been a supporter and participant in this event for all of these 33 years, and in the process, and more recently, you may know it as Folks on Spokes and Step Forward 2024. This event is coming up on September 29th at Fowler Field in Milford and is supporting Bridges. This certified community behavioral health clinic is a state designated local mental health authority for the communities of Milford, Orange, and West Haven. It also serves Stratford and other surrounding communities with comprehensive outpatient services to support children, families, adults, and young adults with behavioral health issues and substance use disorders, and individuals with severe and prolonged mental illness. We're going to get into a great conversation with these folks in just a moment, but we also want to tell you about another fantastic event that's happening just a few days later. So if you want to fill up your end of September and beginning of October calendar, we'd like to send you down to Bridgeport on Thursday, October 3rd at 6:30, where you could be among the first to screen the Barnum Museum's multi-award-winning documentary Uncovering the Secrets of an Egyptian Mummy and Coffin, The Quest to Restore Personhood. It's a premiere being held at the historic Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport, and the screening of this documentary tells the story of Ipi's mummy and Panabi's coffin, sharing the secrets hidden within hieroglyphs, inscriptions, and facial reconstruction. With the help of Connecticut scans and forensic artistry, the mummy's identity and more surprises are revealed. You'll also be able to take a part in a Q&A session with the filmmakers, a Barnum Museum curator who was integral to this restoration project, and our friend executive director Kathy Marr. That's happening immediately after the film. So if you'd like more details and ticket information, you can call 203-331-1104 or just visit barnum-museum.org. All right. Turning our attention back to Milford and Bridges Healthcare, Allison and Ray, thank you both so much for being part of the program today.
Thank you for having us, John.
So let's start with you, Allison. You are the Director of Fund Development and Communications for Bridges Healthcare. So we want to go to you first to kind of frame what people need to know beyond that brief introduction.
Yes, thank you, John. That was a great introduction. You know, Bridges has been, we produce over 20 unique programs and services to our community, often through programs and services you might not know that Bridges Healthcare is behind. And we've been there since 1957. So, we've grown along a long way. We started out as just a children's mental health facility. And now we've grown to facilitate services for the entire age range, from child to families to young adults to senior outreach care. And we've also grown our footprint in our catchment area, where we're serving clients from Milford, from West Haven, Orange, Stratford. And we serve this whole lifespan of mental health, behavioral health needs. And I think a lot of people, you know, wonder what is behavioral health, and that's really anything that having to do when you think of therapy or clinicians, you need thinking depression, anxiety, but it can be as long and pervasive as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and then people who are struggling with addictions, substance use disorders, opiate addictions that we've seen a huge uptick in, and we are on those front lines of meeting this opioid crisis that we've been fighting as a nation. Mm. So here locally, we see that, and we have, like I said, we have over 20 different programs and services, and we reach more than 8,000 individuals each year through our outpatient, our in-home, our community outreach programs, and then our coordinated prevention efforts with the local prevention councils.
And you've also grown your footprint of offices outside of Milford.
We certainly have, yes. So we have our main office in Milford, and we just about 4 years ago opened our West Haven office that has outpatient services, and just last year opened a small Stratford office that's serving child clients.
And you also have achieved a spectacular position when it comes to accreditation and affiliations. You've got quite a network of state and federal support and interaction, right?
We do. We are really proud to say that we're accredited by the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval, and that's specifically for the behavioral health care accreditation. We're also state licensed. We're licensed by the state of the State Department for Children and Families, and for the Department of Public Health. And then most recently, through the federal programming, we became a certified community behavioral health clinic through SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I know that's a lot of words and a lot of acronyms, but really what that means when we say that we're a certified community behavioral health clinic, it means that we've achieved a certain level of expectations. We're held to a higher threshold of criteria of excellence, and that our clients can experience that. It means that we're culturally competent, we're culturally inclusive in thinking through what our clients' needs and where they're coming from, and so that they can expect to experience that when they walk through the door with whatever walk of life they're dealing with, whatever journey they're on, whether it's substance use, whether it's mental illness, whether it's just mental health concerns, that they need to talk to someone, and they can expect that level of experience and expertise and obviously accreditation. Sure. Thanks to these, that our staff work really hard to achieve for our clients.
Well, before we talk a little bit more about the upcoming event, let's help inspire people to get involved by learning a little bit more, about the specifics to the extent you're able to talk about them. And let's start with a community that we have been talking a lot about leading up to and, of course, through and past the COVID era, and that is our area's young people and young adults. They have been facing unique challenges, whether it is the stigmatizing or those who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, whether they're just young people who have experienced a separation from their families or caregivers, or those who are still a part of families who are dealing collectively with challenges, whether they be mental health or addiction issues. Tell us a little bit more about some of the programming and success that Bridges Healthcare has with their youth and young adult services.
Certainly, I'd love to share that, because it is, as you said, it's very it's palpable right now, especially with the isolation that a lot of our kids experienced through COVID, and what we're seeing now that they've been entering back into life. Our child clinicians have shared that they are seeing a higher level of acuity in our needs. This means that the behaviors are higher. There's more violence, more suicidal tendencies, even homicidal tendencies we're seeing in our kids. And so there's just this greater level of need for care, not only for the immediate future, but these are mental health conditions that need a lot of support and duration in order to get these kids to turn around and see their brighter future. And that's what our clinicians are doing. That's what we've shared stories of children who have come in. They have been struggling, whether it's that they can't open up, they have so much anxiety that they can't experience life the way that one would expect them to be able to. And through their work with their counselor, with the counselor working with their families, they're able to open up. They're able to withstand these storms, these crises that they see. One way in which we're also meeting this head on is that we're working with the school system. So we've recently expanded our in-school services, meaning that we are meeting the children where they're at. Because as you can imagine, a parent who has kids and they're already feeling like they're dealing with these struggles, maybe have, that's one more barrier to try and get a time to meet outside of school hours or after hours. So we're trying to meet them in the schools where they're at. We have a new program we just got a grant for that we have some trauma-related therapy that's happening in schools. These are in partnership with the Milford school systems and the West Haven school systems, so that we can identify, you know, the teachers and social workers that are seeing the kids day in, day out can see if there's any red flags. They can talk to the kids, and then we're there to support them if for any reason they're flagged as having trauma and they need trauma-based therapy. And these are very specific types of therapy that can help these kids immediately. So we're trying to reduce barriers to increase that access to care so that we can get in when it's needed and get that prevention and that intervention happening.
Allison, we're going to give you a break, and people have heard a lot about Bridges Healthcare, but I'd like to turn the attention over to one of your esteemed board members, not just somebody who has been serving this organization, but also someone who was part of the team that came up with this great idea about doing something called Folks on Spokes all these 33 years ago. Ray Vitale is on the line with us, and he is co-founder of Folks on Spokes Ride, which is now Bridges Health's Folks on Spokes and Step Forward 2024. Ray, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tell me about your discovery of Bridges.
Well, it goes back a long time. I think 33 years ago doesn't tell the tale of Bridges of Folks on Spokes completely. I was brought onto the board as a former educator. I was a principal and teacher in Milford of an elementary and a middle school. At that point, it wasn't Bridges. It was Milford Mental Health Clinic. And so that says a lot in the title of our organization or agencies that needed to be changed in the coming years. But way back when I was brought on the board, we were not a very large agency. I think we were an agency whose budget was about $2-3 million a year, and trying to really scrape to get money together to provide programs for the youth and what was happening in Milford as far as mental health was concerned. So having said that, we said, well, friend of mine, both of us, Al Diamond and myself, we just began to ride bikes, and it happened to be my birthday that year. And my kids gave me a bike, and I started to ride. And I said to Al, why don't we have a bike ride? Let's get things together. We can make a few bucks and hopefully support one of the programs within the agency. So that's how it started. And you know, my hope was that, and every year we grew and grew and grew. My hope was that I would not have to, or we would not have to do everything. Mark roads, get sponsors, sell the program, sell Folks on Spokes, sure. Keep it in the forefront. And, yeah. and it happened to be one of the foremost money, highest fundraisers that the agency has. And it's been going on with people like Allison who really gives us it all. Among the other fundraisers that we have at Bridges also.
Yeah, and because it involves people doing something that they love to do and is easy to do to raise money for a hyper local cause that in all likelihood has helped someone they love or at least someone they know. And the fantastic thing about this event is that there's this leisurely 5K stroll through and near downtown Milford in the coastline, and four different routes to choose from for cyclists, 5, 10, 20, and 40 mile course. So something really, really in there for everyone, no matter whether you just like to walk around and get a little leisurely exercise, or if you're a more of a serious or even professional cyclist, you can all step up. But there is another component to this that's really, really important, and that's a remembrance ceremony. Allison, can you kind of let folks know what they're in for? Along with the actual participation and the physical involvement in either the walk or the ride?
Sure. So for the remembrance ceremony that you mentioned, this is a moment to honor or memorialize those that you are walking or riding for. We invite all of our participants to share the names of those that they're riding for, those that they're carrying with them on their road or on their path that they're walking or cycling that day. And we share that out. And it's this really beautiful moment of the community coming together to recognize loss, but also hope. And that's why the walk is called Step Forward. We're all stepping forward together from, there's a lot of grief, there's some sadness, but we're all together in hope and creating awareness for this cause so that other people can be aware and hopefully put those interventions in place before things like suicide or overdose happen. So it's this beautiful day of community of cyclists coming out. There's individuals, there's families. They're all walking for different reasons. Like you said, some people are out there for the beautiful routes. And I have to give Ray some proper accolades the route that he designed, that Ian designed, are beautiful. There are some stunning views of the shoreline, of Connecticut shoreline, that I didn't even know existed. And to drive them, that they're just these, it is a beautiful route. And so even if you're just wanting to come out for a ride to see some beautiful coastline of Connecticut, it's worth doing. And the walk itself, it has a slightly different feel. It's a leisurely 5K. Some people like to get out there and run, but it's neither of these are a race. But it's all about tribute and coming together, and it's this really beautiful thing. And this year we're changing it up just a little bit. This might be news to people, but our 40 milers, they go out early because it takes a long time for them to ride 40 miles. But this year we're, instead of doing staggered for everyone, we're pulling in the 20, the 10, the 5, and the walkers to all set off at once. So it's going to be this really even more impactful feel of all of us being together at once as we roll out. Yes, and seeing everyone. Yeah.
Well, as Ray mentioned, one of the key partnerships that helps Bridges continue to do all the great work and expand their programming, but also to be able to make this fantastic ride happen, are sponsors like the Milford Bank, NFP, the Critella-Biani family, Trinity Point Wealth, and Genoa Healthcare. And we appreciate their support of this event, as well as everyone who may be listening who decides to come out on September 29th to this fantastic event. Ray, let's give you the last word. If you can just remind them which website they need to go to get registered, or how they can get more information.
Well, I think Allison can clue you in on the website, but it's Bridges website, and it will get you right to our ride. Just remembering that it's, what we emphasize, it's not a race, it's a ride. And we try to be aware of all the skill levels that our riders possess, whether it's a 5, a 10, a 20, a 40 mile ride. It's a scenic route. It also stops and has stops on some historical places in Milford also. So it's a matter of saying, hey, come out, enjoy. We have a great day of fun and festivities. It's interesting. We have great rest stops. Mm-hmm. And all along the way, we have individuals who help us. Sacred Heart University swimmers are volunteers. We have many more volunteers. So it all put together, and it works out to be a really great day for everyone.
Very good. So Allison,
yeah, that's right. It is really well supported. Yeah. And I can fill in on that website. It's folksonspokes.bridgesct.org. Folksonspokes.bridgesct.org.
There are no trophies. The recognition in participation is the gift that all the participants will get for helping this great organization, Bridges Healthcare, as you heard, serving the community for many decades with volunteers like Ray, who have been serving the organization and this event for over 33 years. Allison Zonka, Bridges Director of Fund Development and Communications, Ray Vitale, a Bridges Board board member and Folks on Spokes co-founder. Thank you both for coming on. Folksonspokes.bridgesct.org is the website to go. We hope to see many, many, many For the People listeners coming out and supporting this organization and this event. Thank you guys for helping us understand why participating is so important, and hopefully we'll see you at the event. The following is an encore presentation of a segment of the award-winning For the People that was recorded and aired previously. So here we are at the beginning of this week's program, and as promised, we're bringing you part two of a little mini-series that we're doing about one of the premier nonprofit health organizations serving many communities in our listening area. I'm talking about RVNA Health. They're a private nonprofit that's been providing exceptional home and community healthcare services. They support public health and safety and have promoted the highest quality of life for over 100 years across 35 towns in southwestern Connecticut. Today, I'm so pleased to welcome their director of philanthropy, Mary Jean Heller. And we're going to not only talk about the important role philanthropy plays in the ongoing success, sustainability, and the ability for RVNA Health to increase and enhance their services, but about a number of the programs and services that Mary Jean has experienced and wants to, you know, share a little bit of her insight with her over a decade of service with RVNA. Before that, I do want to bring you a very important piece of information. You've probably been hearing about the increase in pet hoarders and folks who unfortunately are abandoning their sort of COVID pets across Connecticut by the hundreds every week. This is putting incredible pressure on all the agencies trying to intake and care for these abandoned pets, including an organization called Kitty Quarters Cat Shelter. They're in Torrington, and they serve primarily the area around Torrington and Litchfield County. If you have unwanted and gently used items around your house, you can donate them to the Kitty Quarters upcoming benefit tag sale, or you can patronize it and know that all of the proceeds from it are going to help this organization. It's all happening at St. Michael's Church, just off the Litchfield Green, 5 minutes from Route 8 North as you're heading up toward Torrington. And you can support their tag sale or go there on Friday night, September 6th, and drop off the items that you'd like to donate. The whole event is happening the weekend of September 6th, 7th, and 8th, and you can find out more about the items they're looking for or how you can help in other ways by connecting to their website at kittyquarters.org. All right. Mary Jean Heller is with us. She's director of philanthropy for RVNA, used to be the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association. Mary Jean, I heard when you first picked up the phone off mic, it was MJ. Do you feel better or would you prefer that I call you MJ?
Thank you for having me. MJ is a longtime family nickname, so whichever you prefer works for me.
Very good. Well, Mary Jean, tell us a little bit about your work and your background and what brought you to RVNA now over a decade ago.
Yes, I have actually a financial background from years ago, but I came to RVNA Health, when they were RVNA 13 years ago, and it's just been a great story. I really enjoy it here. I love being a part of my local community, and we do a lot of good things for our expanded communities, and it's a very feel good organization.
Mm. Now, did you work in the health arena prior to coming on to RVNA, or is this your first foray into the world of healthcare and public health support?
I did not. So coming to RVNA Health was, a bit of a learning curve for me to learn the healthcare industry, the insurance reimbursements and all that. And I'm still no expert in it because it's a very complex landscape out there. But it's been a learning curve, but one that I embrace.
Mm. Were you always involved in promoting the philanthropic importance at RVNA, or did you come in some other capacity and move into this position?
No, I started right in this area. I started as a grant writer and then moved into the director position. So, I've always been involved with the development team since coming here.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about philanthropy, including how grants help RVNA make all the difference to all the patients that they might not be able to reach out and help and support if it wasn't for some type of philanthropic or charitable giving. It really plays an important role in a nonprofit organization, but sometimes I think when we're talking about public health delivery, the mind tends to automatically think it's a taxpayer-funded initiative, and certainly that is not the case.
No, absolutely not. Our revenue streams come from, insurance reimbursements and Medicare and Medicaid, but the additional things that we do, the ability to care for people who don't have insurance or who are underinsured, the ability to care for more vulnerable populations, and to bring the valuable preventive care and community health programs that we bring throughout the many communities we serve, those things are purely donor funded. We wouldn't be here without the support of our donors. Quite frankly, that's just how it is. Mm. We have a 110-year-old mission that is founded upon compassion, and the last thing we want to do is turn away somebody who truly needs healthcare but is challenged with accessing it, whether it be due to financial reasons or other barriers such as language or transportation or they're new to the country, what have you. So, we really look at our patient population and we don't want to turn people away. We like to serve people regardless of their financial circumstances, regardless of their diagnosis, birth to end of life. And philanthropy is really the only way that we can stay true to our mission.
Mm. One of the other challenges is the actual word philanthropy. Sometimes when people say that word, there's that impression that, it's some wealthy benefactor that's, writing a million-dollar check to, not only give back, but maybe to lend their name to a program, a service, a building, something like that. But in fact, philanthropy is as much as and is important as a $5 or a $20 or a $50 donation or volunteering, right?
Oh, you bet. I mean, John, philanthropy is the love for humankind. It's the act of charitable giving that improves the well-being of others. So, my job and the job of my colleagues on my team is to work with people to, provide support in a way that really resonates with them. Right. And philanthropy and our giving is an emotional thing. And right. We're mm-hmm. driven by our emotions when we see that child who's living in a homeless shelter or that dog who was rescued off the street that has three legs. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is no different. There are people who don't have it, have trouble accessing it, and so we work with people who, that resonates with them. And it doesn't have to just be financial. We thrive on an army of volunteers who donate a tremendous amount of time and talent to us as well. And, that's gotten us to where we are as well. We need that kind of help.
Mm.
Serving on volunteer committees and making donations that aren't always financial, but donations of toiletries so we can, bring them to our more vulnerable patients. Diapers for our nurse family partnership program, coloring books that we can bring to our well child clinics. So it takes many forms.
Mm. Well, what helps inspire people are, the personal stories, anecdotes, and experiences that individuals like you can offer in a conversation like we're having right now in the decade plus that you've been with RVNA. Well, let's start with this. What are some of the programs that you are finding are in the highest demand, not only in terms of the need for those services to be delivered, but which ones depend the most on the philanthropic pipeline of revenue to be able to succeed, sustain, and even improve?
Right. Very good question, John. I would start with our hospice program, which has grown tremendously. You know, the population, the general population is aging, as we all know, at an exponential pace, and hospice care has really, you know, taken on a life of its own. And while the medical side of hospice care is, you know, covered by insurance and your Medicare, sometimes that reimbursement doesn't always stretch to support the many other comprehensive services that make hospice the beautiful thing that it is. The music therapy that changes lives, the pet therapy, and the bereavement support that as a provider we're obligated to give and that we want to give, right, to the family members that are bereaving the loss of their loved ones. So philanthropy supports a whole lot of services that are the underpinning of hospice care. And then I would also say that, you know, philanthropy allows us to bring our programs out into the communities. And I'll just focus on, for instance, our well-child clinics. And a perfect example is we forged a partnership with the Danbury Public Schools just coming out of the pandemic. You know, we were at a time where we recognized that coming out of the pandemic, there were, you know, all these children that, you know, had just come off of a year or more of pandemic learning, where they were doing their classwork from home and from a computer. And, you know, during that time frame, many, many underserved families or vulnerable families did not have access to preventive care. They did not have their annual physical. These children did not have the school-required vaccines that they needed to go back to the classroom. So we put a partnership together with the Danbury Public Schools, which was just a win-win, really, for them. I mean, at that time, there were long wait lists at some of the federally funded clinics to get this kind of health care. And we were glad to be able to bring it right to the Danbury Public Schools. And we served, you know, that year, we served about 320 or 350 children with a full physical and all their school required vaccines for free. And so this is a program that was funded by grants and by individual donors because, you know, it really resonated with them. So, you know, it's very, very, very impactful.
Across the time that you've been with RVNA, have there been any other particular programs that you have seen really thrive as a result of the proportion of philanthropic funds that have been able to be steered toward it?
Yes. You know, as I mentioned, hospice, for sure. The well-child program, for sure. On top of that, you know, we have what we call a chronic care program, which really helps some of our more vulnerable residents in the greater area that are served by Medicaid waivers. And, you know, the emergency room is their first stop for when they need medical care. And this chronic care program, you know, identifies these more vulnerable individuals and, you know, offers them a routine nursing visit to come in and check their vital signs, check their blood pressure, check if their ankles are swelling, if they have a wound that needs attention, things like that. And it just helps keep them out of the hospital. It keeps them from, you know, overusing emergency resources of the town, and it allows them to remain in their homes safely and independently as opposed to going to an institutionalized healthcare setting. And of course, we all know that, you know, to go to an assisted living facility or, you know, is a costly venture. So yeah. It's a very, very, that's another very impactful program that is truly supported by philanthropy.
Yeah, it really sounds like the philanthropical support that's being afforded to RVNA Health is helping all the taxpayers in some small way, because it is diverting funding to programs that are offsetting what would otherwise probably be multiplied 2, 3, 4 times over if it relegated over to the to the public burden and the tax burden, right?
Correct, correct. And, you know, John, we bring a number of really valuable programs out to, you know, various towns that we serve, but to the senior centers and to public libraries. And these are programs that cover, you know, so many diverse topics from, you know, your basic well-being and nutrition to perhaps the importance of advanced care planning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, strengthening balance, just a multitude of topics that really are very, very beneficial to our general well-being, and especially the well-being of the elderly.
Very good. In the last minute or two that we have with you, Mary Jean, tell us, tell the folks that are listening and remind them the ways that they can get in touch and perhaps support RVNA through volunteerism, through writing a check, maybe attending an event.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Checks are always welcome. Cash is king. It's very easy to support the organization by donating on our website. But we also do two major fundraising events during the calendar year. We do a spring breakfast at the end of every April, which is hosted at the Amber Room in Danbury. And John, we get 400 people filling that room at 7:30 in the morning on the last Friday morning of April, and it really speaks volumes. The fact that 400 people want to be in that room at 7:30 in the morning is still mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. That's an early hour to start your day, but you know, we raise quite a bit of money within 90 minutes, and it's a very fun way to start your morning. And then we do a, you know, more of a gala event in the fall. We're gearing up right now for our annual autumn dinner, which will be hosted at Le Chateau, just over the border, the New York border here. That will be on September 26th. It's a Thursday evening. And we're really proud to be honoring our president and CEO, Teresa Santoro, who has been 25 years here with the agency and started as a visiting nurse herself. And has just, you know, the agency has just grown and evolved in tremendous ways under her leadership, and she's been quite visionary. So attending fundraising events, serving on committees, volunteering with us, so, so many ways to support the organization.
Awesome. RVNA Health, which started as the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association back in 1914, is a private nonprofit mission-driven organization founded and focused on care, helping deliver that care thanks to your philanthropy as their director of philanthropy, Mary Jean Heller, our guest for this second of a two-part little mini-series focusing on nonprofit public health agencies. RVNA Health .org is their website if you'd like to learn more or learn how to give and support all this great work that you heard about this morning and with Melissa last week on the program as well. Mary Jean, thank you so much for being part of the program and the series. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA for our program that's relevant to the audiences and communities we serve, you must make your request for consideration in writing via email to john.vocat@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program can be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station websites. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Vocat. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime. Just find it under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.